What up, what up? We are back. Post show episode 143, probably. It's a fun one. We had lots to catch up on. We talk Kowloon generic romance, Gundam G-Quacks, Quucks, to be determined. We have a lively debate about the current state of Last of Us, so if you're in for some heat, take a listen to that. I can safely say there's not really many spoilers for season two in there. We talk Andor, but the twist is we talk Andor mostly season one. I'm like, as usual, incredibly late to it, and I'm about a little more through halfway than season. I'm a little more than halfway on season one, and it's blowing my head off. So we talk about that, and then we talk about Orb on the Movements of the Earth, which is also fantastic. Per Grant, I need to check that out. And then news sprinkled here and there, the Oblivion remastered bit. And some fun stuff at the end. Thank you for listening and enjoy.
Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hello, David.
What's up, buddy?
No, not much. Just enjoying this nice little beginning of the summer weather.
Yeah, dude. I was just saying to you, like, we are beginning to appreciate our setup with this house that we bought, but didn't really know much about what was planted in the front and backyard, and now we like things are sprouting faster than we can count them, which on one hand is like quite exciting. And on the other, you're like, how much upkeep is this going to be if I want to keep these things remotely alive?
Every night after work, 40 minutes. That's my rule of thumb.
40?
Yeah, keep it under an hour just to touch up, do what you need to
What
do.
are
That
you
way,
doing out there a lot?
that way you're not burning like 4 or 5 hours on a Sunday there.
What
That
are
would be
you? I
hard.
don't
So,
understand. What are you cultivating?
well, you cut the grass on the Sunday, you get the clippings on Monday. You
What do
just
you mean you get the clippings? What clippings are you getting?
my grass. When I first moved in here, I got overzealous with the nutrients and the like
Yeah.
fresh grass
Yeah.
seed.
Yeah.
My grass grows like 2 weeks worth in 1 week. It's
Huh.
actually
But
insane. Yeah.
like actual technical question. What do you mean get the clippings? Like, don't you just put it, like, get them in the bag and throw out the
Well,
bag?
long grass, so
Yeah.
the tends not to break it all up. So you got lots of shavings in the lawn, and you get those
Oh my
lawn the
goodness.
those paths. So
That's
you get out
tough.
with a rake, you pile them up, put them in your Enviro bags. I
One
just put
cool
out six of them
thing.
for 1 week alone.
Wow, that's crazy. I don't want to reveal too much about my location here, but because you never know the internet. But we've got that we got the compost thing every week, so we just dump it all in there. That's nice. I'll tell you. Let me tell you.
Yeah, wait till you do some grass clippings. You'll see how far that one compost thing will go.
But I don't like. Aren't I already doing that? Or you mean? Do you mean at like a new house? Because I
I
mowed it
no no
last
no.
year.
I think like I was saying, in my instance, my grass goes very long in
Yeah,
just 1 week.
that's
So
crazy.
every week when I cut the grass, there's always like a ton of long grass left over on the
Right.
ground to kind of sweep up
Yeah, I've never had
or
that.
rake up. Yeah, it's kind of my own doing, but I have nice long green grass, so I
Yeah, there
can't
is like
complain.
one spot. I mean, next week is supposed to be the big week. Well, like. We truly have become the middle age podcast, but screw it. I'm gonna lean
I
into it.
love
Next week is the big week. We're planting a little raised garden bed. This is it, dude.
You building one or are you buying a raised one?
I think we're just gonna build it. I mean, we'll see how that actually goes in practice, but like the very basic one that I'm looking at is like, four 2x4s and you attach them to blocks and then you put soil in it. Like, and it'll be slightly raised. Bare, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know, I think it'll be fine. I famous last words. I am worried about the pests. Like there's rabbits in my backyard every day. So we'll see how that goes. Which is weird because we've talked about this. I feel like I'm in the city, but the minute you like there's any green, there are critters. So many chipmunks too, dude. It's wild.
Damn chipmunks.
Hinky punks. Hinky punks. I'm trying to think of Harry Potter. That's what a hinky punk is. Anyway,
Really?
yeah.
That's from Harry Potter? Oh,
That
I
one's from the
didn't
book. From the best book, Goblet of Fire.
Wow.
Low-key, just so you know.
Hard disagree.
Well, whatever, dude.
I
Where do you want to start, man?
don't know. I got a text from you in the middle of the night the other night saying how you were like super down with Kowloon generic romance. So let's do you want to talk about some talk about that?
Yeah, I think I'm caught up. I mean, I'm 6 episodes in. I don't know if the 7th is
caught up. I think I'm just... I haven't caught the most recent one. I think it came out just last week, so...
Yeah, I just think that, to your point, it is very up my alley. It is very mind-bendy-ish. Mm. And also just like... I don't know. There's got to be a term, and if there is, maybe you know it. It's kind of like the Sunny Boy thing, where it's like the trope, if there is a trope, would be like characters trying to understand the rules of their world. Not isekai, right? Mm, but it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you could say it's like isekai adjacent, but like the whole thing about Sunny Boy is like they're trying to understand like their environment. And same with Kowloon.
Like psycho thriller, maybe, or like pseudo thriller. Yeah, I can see that.
But it's similar in Kowloon Generic Romance. Like some characters are aware that the nature of their reality.
Yeah, some very big reveals. And also, I remember we had spoke about it last time, how I had heard and read that like the pacing is like people are a little upset with, but the pacing, it like every episode feels like there's a huge reveal at the end of every episode. You can kind of feel. Not the blow, but you can feel like the quickness of it. Like there's like some major reveals from like one to the other. It's like, whoa, like most shows, like if this was heavily delusion, we'd be dragging this out for like 4 or 5 episodes. You know what I mean? Like this is like every episode is like, and like kind of working against it. There is like one or two where it's like, oh, I really could have like, I wish I could have cooked with that a little bit. But the speed that it goes, like you're on to the next thing. You're like, oh wow. Like the bigger picture, but yeah, very, very, very cool stuff. I don't know. It's like it's different, and it's not like a total knockout, but just the world they've built, and I think it's so cool that like people are aware that like she is a fake. The reveal that like he knows she's a fake, or she's the real one, or not the, you know, the B versus A. I'm blanking on her name right now, but Kujihara. Yeah, Kujihara. Or anyways, but yeah, I don't know. Just like. It doesn't feel like we're being dragged along. It just kind of feels like we're getting all the information like as the characters do. We hardly have any time to like really sit with it before we kind of have the next reveal. If you kind of get what I mean.
No, I do. I think you raise a good point. Like the reveal that she isn't who she like her like her own like her, the her understanding the truth, not just you know her love the other guy the her love interest understanding, but like. The audience finding out at the same time that the protagonist finds out, like, I'm not the original. You make a good point.
I think she is the original. That's the thing.
I
think she is A, and the girl that he knows and he had the previous relationship with is, like, the mirage or the...
Interesting. The artificial. I'm not going to say anything in case the one episode... Cause I
don't know. Okay. Okay.
I don't know if what I know happened earlier or not.
Mm.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I believe episode 5 is as far as I've gotten.
Yeah, I'm definitely on 6, but I can't remember if, I can't remember what is revealed when, so I'm not going to say anything. But to your point, like, I was just going to say, they're revealing this stuff very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And I'm really interested in these other two characters that have started to take up, like, a lot of screen time. The two guys.
Pharmaceutical guy?
Yeah, the pharmaceutical guy. And then the guy who worked in the like coffee shop.
The tea house at one point.
But then him, he may or may not have a copy. He may or may not be the original. I like that there's another set of characters also going through something at least somewhat adjacent to what they're going through. But
yeah, it's almost like a level up, right? Like they have kind of like a bigger scope of what's going on, but like still like they're because they're antagonist ish, all the details aren't being fully revealed with them. So like I think more of the mystery is with them than with the main characters.
Yeah, and then also there's like very literally the big looming thing in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I think in episode 6 we talk about it a little bit more, which is good. But it's funny, like that's really the only thing that pacing wise. They're drip feeding a little bit. Mm. They haven't like given a ton of information about what it is,
and its point.
And who's behind it, and you know what I mean, all that stuff. But all of that to say, I really like. I don't find there to be an issue with the pacing, but you know, maybe we will. Maybe I'll feel differently. Like it as you know, like the way I feel about this is like it all. It depends on how it ends. It depends on How long is the season? How does it end up? If it, is mm-hmm. it 12? I would not be
I believe
surprised.
It's 12. There's not, hasn't been anything said
yeah,
otherwise.
That doesn't surprise me. But yeah, like if we get to the end of 12 and we feel like we've learned a huge amount, you know, because mm-hmm. on the other hand, like sometimes with Heavenly Delusion, it was like, fuck, it's so slow and so disjointed that you get to the end and you're like, what did we learn? It's like sometimes when you go too slow, the audience can be like, can just get lost in the sauce, lost in the minutia. But they're definitely not, they don't have that problem.
Well, it's interesting. I was reading that apparently it's like a full volume per episode. So that's like 6 to 7 chapters.
That's quite hefty.
Which, it is a lot. That's a lot to be covered. Like, you know, and
I wonder what the pacing
like
of
a shonen
is like.
I'm not too sure. Like, I know it's really well, like, I'm just wondering, like, what is, like, the little stuff that is kind of, not necessarily, like, you know, it might not necessarily be big picture, but, like, the kind of the character development stuff that is really kind of fills in, like, the whole cast. Like, if I had to guess, the best friend, the blonde girl who kind of, like, got all the plastic surgery.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some stuff with her that definitely, like, the way they kind of, I think the most recent episode I watched, or the one just before that. You know, that's been my favorite episode so far, where, like, you know, she's in the mirror and she's, like, having this kind of, like, you know, imposter syndrome, like, seeing her old self in the mirror, and you think that, like, she's, like, taking all the makeup off or whatever, and, like, it cuts to the door, and, you know, is it Kujihara? Main character, the main girl there. She knocks at the door, then, you know, she comes out and she's, like, still the same. I don't know, I thought it was, like, a really, very subtle touch, but little stuff like that, I bet that's where the kind of the minutia is, like, fitted in, you know, in the story, but I think it's just a great show. Banging music. And just, like, the vibe. Like, the 80s, 90s...
Look.
Hot summer aesthetic is, like, really, really cool. Yeah.
We've returned.
We have returned.
We're not going to be able to hide that edit.
No.
Because there's a good chance, however I do it, it's going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we were talking about Kujirabi and...
the friend, the best friend there.
Yes, and the best friend. And I was just telling you, there is follow up to that plot in the next episode, and it's interesting, or at least, like, I don't know if you want to, like, say it's like a lore draw. I don't fucking know, but there's development, and I think you'll find it interesting.
The other thing I kind of like. It's so funny. Like, you know, you might be able to. Someone might call it hypocritical, but you know, you and I kind of pound down on shows that beat us over the head with, like, plot points and, like, see, like, hey, here, like, you see there's, like, a goldfish here, and, like, that's the symbolism of, like, you know, one to the other. But there's, like, little stuff, like, you know, like, the goldfish and, like, the constant, like, you know, like, looking up at the sky and kind of almost, like, showing, like, a shift perspective. But, again, with the friend, the whole stuff with the, I'm already blanking on the name, but the fake diamond, or the zirconian diamonds.
Yeah.
And of, like, you know, find the one, like, not necessarily the real thing, but, like, you know. Yeah, it just that whole plotline with, like, the real and fake diamonds and or artificial diamonds, it kind of just really hits home of, like, you know, like, there's one and two, but, like, they could still be the same to different people and all this and that. It's, I don't know, like, tonight I'm probably going to, you know, catch up on the following two episodes there. But, yeah, it's, I don't know, just good vibes. Very different. Like, it kind of feels like a time capsule show in a lot of ways.
That's a good way to put it.
It doesn't feel as modern as, like, some people, as much as you might think it is. It feels very rooted in itself.
I'm really enjoying it just because, like, I love something that's, like, feels original, not part of this giant IP. Like, as excited I am for the Demon Slayer movie and Jujutsu Kaisen and all that stuff, like, you know, sometimes the best shows are the ones that you just find by surprise, that you just get a random recommendation for, and it's, like, something wholly original, or at least it feels like that. So it's currently my favorite anime on, but I'm also not watching a ton.
There's not a ton, super ton, that's usually in our wheelhouse on right now.
I am watching the Gundam G Cooks thing.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Not doing anything for it. It's definitely not Wish for Mercury for me. Like, the excitement I had for that, like, week to week, that was, like, even the whole thing with, like, the clan battles in this, like, it's not, like, a story beat that I like, you know? Like, I like a tournament arc, but, like, not the whole point, like, conceit of the show kind of thing. It's so funny, like, as it goes on, I'm, with, they're like, there's no Evas or anything like that, but, like, a lot of like the imagery and like the weirdly hypersexualization like feels very Neon Genesis in a couple of the most recent episodes. So I can see
that's what he brought to the project.
And honestly, that's what it kind of feels like. And some of the Gundam designs kind of feels rooted in his world. So it kind of feels like it kind of dawned on me the other day. It kind of felt like you know how George R. R. Martin was associated with Elden Ring.
Yeah.
It was like hyped, like, oh yeah, like, you know, George, like he's built here. This, like, this is his world. He named a couple of like the villains, like that was like more or less. Like,
yeah, I heard he helped with just like some mucking about.
Yeah, yeah, it was mucking. It was like probably a couple days work. I mean, it wasn't like real big scope stuff. So
two.
That's just kind of the vibes.
Yeah, I have two responses to what you said because you mentioned two things that are directly in my notes.
So okay.
And they're not related, but they're adjacent.
Sure.
I actually have 3 points, if you can believe it. Mm-hmm. One. Mm-hmm. Just on Gundam Quux.
Yep.
Nailed it that time. Quux. Mm-hmm. I am going to...
Quax, but it's okay.
Whatever, dude. It's Quux. It's Quux. It's fine. I'm going to watch until I'm annoyed by it, which,
sure.
To be fair, it could be any minute.
We're getting there, yeah.
But as I'm watching it, I'm having the same problem that I had with Witch for Mercury. And I know that you mentioned that Witch for Mercury ends up getting quite good. But I'm watching it being like, man, I wish I could watch a version of this that wasn't about teenagers or children.
And Time Immemorium, Gundam, it's always been about child soldiers. And that is the experience, right?
Like, what about that Char guy?
Char is also quite young.
Really? Damn.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I think he's like, you know, like late, maybe early 20s, late teens. Yeah. Yeah, he's not a grown man. Just a tall boy.
If I watch those movies you talked about, are those dope?
So here's where in the problem. I watched all three of those movies like diligently. I even like went and did the read ups after the fact, kind of just like the details that I felt like I missed. Because again, at the end of the day, those three movies are compilations of that first season. So right. There's some stuff that doesn't fall through the cracks or whatever. I'm watching G-Quax and it's like pause, rewind. Okay, like, do the reverse engineering of, like, oh, that's that character, and then this is this scenario in reverse, or, you know, path A led to this, you know, like, it's so branching. It is actually, like, for me, who I've done a bit of the homework, it kind of feels like an impossible task. I'm at the point, I'm shutting off my brain, if I catch something, like, oh, that's a reference to something, I'm literally jotting down, I have my notebook beside me when I watch it, and I make a note to read later. I'm just enjoying it for the visuals and kind of that's the thing too, like my gripe is, and I don't have an issue because I know, you know, Trigun Stampede proved to us that like 3D animation can have its, you know, like it can do really, really well.
Yeah.
But I find these fights are like, they're borderline, like epileptic, you know, like just the when they're doing the clan battles, like it is hard to trace. And then the shots that are slowed down or like the, you know, like there was like a really cool fight. The last episode I watched was the one, the two dudes, they get the suit from the Federation. They get the new suits from the Federation. So like, they're not expecting like war ready guys.
Yeah, I saw that episode.
That was a great fight. But same thing. It was like half that fight was like, you know, you're like trying not to, you know, have a seizure. But so I don't know. I'm in it for the vibes, but the vibes are only carrying me so far because it is skewing very, very sexual. Like the underage, I'm not loving a lot of it. The stuff with like the new types, that is really cool. That's like, that's always been in the Gundam universe of like, it's just like the, and especially in the original Gundam too, like there's just like, after years and years and years of like being in space, and it's just kind of, you know, people kind of, I was gonna say breeding, but like people like coming together from the colonies and the earth, and like just over time there's like a new genus that kind of comes through that opens up this like psychic power, and people kind of connect that way, and the military is harnessing it, and like I think the one side knows about it, the other doesn't believe in it, kind of thing, which is the reverse from, again, it's like reverse on a reverse on a reverse. Like it's, so I don't know, like I am enjoying it. I like robots smashing each other, you know, like it's good for that. But big picture, I'm not super focused on like the story. Like I am, but it's like, you know, I'm gonna have to do a read along later, review notes, maybe go back and watch. And that's why I think Witch for Mercury is superior in so many ways. it hits all the notes, the traditional Gundam notes, without being in that timeline, it being right. like a separate timeline in its own thing. But again, like it's there's like references, like just because the names have been used for like 40 years, people know what like these things are, not necessarily trying to link back exactly to the beginning one. So I don't know. It's probably the most legworky show I've watched in a long time, and it's not ruining it for me, but it's like I got other stuff that I'm really enjoying right now.
Right.
That where it is like Kowloon Generic Romance. Like that is something I am that's pulling my mind in, and I want to see the mystery like week to week. This kind of just feels like, all right, cool OP. Who are they fighting this week? You know, so it's,
I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'll watch it for now, and then maybe I'll try Wing eventually. Or the movies, we'll see. The other thing was, because you mentioned Ava, did I tell you I finished the last movie on the flight to Japan?
No, you didn't. That's you're a whole talking other... Rebuild 3?
Yeah, or... yeah. Okay. So I finished both last movies, I think, on the way to Japan, and it was obviously like, I did it at the right time, because, Japan and all that, and I had, like, done recaps on the first two, and I will say, and we can do like a whole pod on this, I think we said we would on all the Rebuild movies at one point, but we'll have to do a refresher, but I walked away with that quite happy. Like, I think I told you I found also like an amazing explainer that helps, and I had to do the same thing I think with the original series and the and end of it the first movie and it really reframed my perspective a lot on the Rebuild versions, and it felt like a couple of big light bulb moments, and I'm like, I walked away with from that last movie like, oh, I'm like super satisfied with it.
Haven't seen the third one. Actually,
one and two, I would say, are the in wake of like the investigation and all this stuff that I've done, are by far the weaker half of the quadrilogy or of the four.
Really?
Three and four are where they're like it changes in a major way. Especially three and especially four. Yeah, both of them deviate very significantly.
Damn.
And there are, and like, you know, it's fucking Ava, right? So it's like you gotta know what to look for, but like when you do,
sure, yeah.
It's like there's like a big moment. So I don't know. Anyway, I recommend it.
Yeah. I
highly recommend it.
I'm gonna check that out. I would like to do that pod soon. That'd be fun.
Yeah. That, and we gotta do Berserk. Did we do a Berserk Volume 2 pod?
No, that's next.
Okay, so we gotta do that, and then we gotta buy this.
We should do it. We should do Berserk 2, and then we should do Ava, and then we should loop back to Berserk 3.
All right. Yeah, dude. We could even pause this one while we do those. I don't give a fuck. I don't know. Food for thought. We can do whatever we want. We're in charge of our own programming.
It's our show.
Yelling.
It's a free show.
Yeah, dude. It's a free show. It's a free show.
I got
last thing. Last thing. Sorry. Yeah? Last thing. Elden Ring. You mentioned Elden Ring?
Yeah.
You see rumors? Alex Garland set to direct a movie?
I don't buy that.
Rumor. I said rumor.
Yeah. So no. Okay.
It's a rumor.
That's...
I put a bug in his ear about it.
Yeah. I don't know. That's... I think that's a little bit too much of Hollywood to bite off yet. I don't think they're ready for that.
We'll see, dude.
Yeah.
But if he does I bet he does it before Batman 2 comes out, dude. Sorry, bro. I had to do it to you.
Well, you see all the stuff, all the more friggin' Matt Reeves dumping going on right now?
No, what's he doing, dude?
Wow, I don't know. I was reading a couple things online. Again, it all felt very rumorish. Nothing was like, verified. But there's like a lot of talk that like his health isn't well, and that's why things are getting delayed. Not just because like him and James Gunn. So everyone's like, oh, it's James Gunn's fault. And everyone's like, no, it's not his fault. Like he can only be so patient. He's the head of the studio. Like if someone's, I don't know. It's just the weird loyalties people have online to like people they don't know. It's just
The parasocial relationships that develop.
Yeah. It's so strange. But
all that said, to all the listeners out there, we care about you.
No,
I'm playing.
To comment on the Elden Ring thing, that feels like a knee-jerk reaction to the Minecraft movie. That's another. I feel like that's what that is. I think
that thing has some legs, huh?
Oh, did it ever. Which, surprise to no one. I knew the second that was coming out that was going to crush.
Yeah.
Whether it was good or not. And, you know, people seem to be enjoying it for what it is. But never played the game. Never played Minecraft.
Me neither. I've tried on more than one occasion. I just can't get into it.
I remember seeing it for the first time in the wild. Oh, you're gonna. This is a good little date, or like to date the situation. I was away at college with our friend Shane.
There was already uninterested.
Uninterested. We were in the cafeteria or the lounge, the student lounge. Randy and Leahy from Trailer Heart Boys were doing a live concert, and to our left was a dude on his laptop. And I look over, I'm like, what on earth is that guy playing? Like, why is he playing this game? And, like, Randy and Leahy are, like, you know, busting, you know. Randy was doing shots out of some girl's belly button. It was unreal. It was wild. It was, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I look to my left, and there's this thing. And I just asked him, like, what is that? And he's like, Minecraft? And I'm like, I know what that is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, next thing you know, it's, like, one of the biggest things in the world. Like, the biggest thing in the world. But, yeah, it was, yeah, funny little anecdote.
That is funny. That is a good little detour.
Yeah.
Have you been watching... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, have you been watching The Last of Us?
No, I'm out.
Wow.
I am actually out.
Really? Full actually Captain Buzzkill,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, but I'm following the discourse weekly. This girl cannot catch a break. I am not...
Which girl?
Bella Ramsey. God,
yes, okay.
Godspeed to her. Like... Yeah. I actually don't love what she's performance-wise, what she's doing from the clips I've seen.
Like, I actually want to be clear. I do support all the hate and vitriol she's getting, but I feel bad. No,
I don't think she deserves any of that. It's so silly. And, like, just, like, mean, but, like, I'm going to be a dad line is, like, actually, like, soul-crushing to the story, in my opinion. Not to be, like, but too fine a point on it.
Yeah.
It is ludicrous.
I mean, she didn't write that line.
No, but have you seen the clip? Like, I know everyone likes to talk like Craig Mazin's like the second coming of like HBO there, yeah. And he's like the hit maker. The clip behind the scenes clip
did they do inside, yesterday. Do they do like an inside the episode for this thing?
And like he could not be more high on his own supply about writing that line, and he's like the joy on her face. Like, can you not? How can you not love that scene? Like, look how happy she is. And it's like it's not the point. But again, I know it's. All that wrapped up. I know they're trying to do something different. It sucks, but it is what it is. But no, like I get it. It's just not for me. And like, yep. You know, it's like what I told you last time. I think what they did with the game was a feat. I think it's a great piece of storytelling, and to replicate that is almost impossible and not feasible time wise. Like, it makes no sense just to redo it. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's so funny to put things in perspective. David Cronenberg was on Marin a couple weeks ago.
Mm.
And there's this author, William Burroughs. I'm not super familiar, but I think David Cronenberg's movie Naked Lunch was based on okay. one of his books. And the movie with Daniel Craig recently, Queer, it yeah. was based on a William Burroughs book.
Okay.
Anyway, so... David Cronenberg, and this is all going to come together, I promise.
Yeah, yeah.
So, David Cronenberg was talking about how he had spoken with William Burroughs around the time when he was, like, writing the script, or working with someone writing the script for the movie.
Okay.
And, you know, like, he was talking to the author, and he was like, you know, like, I'm trying to, you know, do what I can to be as, you know, like, kind of, not necessarily, like, one for one, but, like, I want it to be the same wavelength. And he had said, William Burroughs, like, oh, I'm so relieved you're saying that. He's like... You know, people shouldn't be remaking it. Like, you should be taking what I wrote, taking what you saw, and making it your own thing. The wavelength is like, and I'm paraphrasing, but like, the wavelength is the important part, not
yeah.
the words off the page.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and I heard that, and literally the first thing that came to my mind is all this stuff with The Last of Us.
Right.
And it's a little stickier because, like, the writer of The Last of Us is also heavily involved.
Yeah.
And he's co-creator. So, like, I don't know. It's, like I said, it's not like a one-to-one comparison, but, like, it did give me a little perspective of, like,
yeah.
you're right, things don't need to be one-for-one. Maybe we should ease up a little on some things, but I don't know.
I think this just yeah. furthers the point that there is no version of an adaptation that will ever please anyone. Or everyone,
no.
rather.
No.
Like, it's just
there's always going to be, like, possible. The big ones that do and whatnot.
What are the
like,
big ones?
Well, like, I think...
Name
but
one.
Even... Lord of the Rings, I think, is pretty commonly...
Massively deviates.
Again, and no one really had...
Yeah, yeah.
Again, there isn't... I'll never forget, like, The Two Towers was about to come out. Or no, maybe The Return of the King was about to come out. And all the stuff with Shelob in Return of the King. Yeah. And I remember my uncle, God love him, was just, like, shitting all over Lord of the Rings. And I'm like, it's Christmas. Why are you making me sad? I was like, I've read the book. I know, like, they're not going to do it, like, all this. Because there's, like, in Return of the King, specifically the book, there's so much stuff. It's so dense.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Return of the King, like, anyway. But, like, I think my point stands to a certain extent. Like, you know, there's some close ones, but there's never one-to-one. Like, what's the point of one-to-one? Jurassic Park, totally askew.
Yeah,
from the book,
I was gonna say it felt like we had this conversation in season one of Last of Us a year or two ago, and I think our takeaway was like, see, like almost a one to one kind of works, because I think it was like season one was pretty damn close, right?
Pretty damn close, yeah. A couple outliers, but the outlier stuff was great.
Yeah. The Offerman episode, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's like if they deviated once, like they hit 1,000 on that thing. So it was like, fuck, they really can't miss at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think, because it's funny, like I wonder what you and all the video game people would, how you'd feel if you could vacuum that out of your brain. If you'd never seen it. Ever. And that's an impossible thing to do. You can't, pretend.
Yeah. Like, okay. Thought experiment. Yes, yep. Let's say that you take that scene of like, oh, like I'm gonna be a dad and the smile. Yes, that is a legitimately happy moment.
Sure.
And in this, you know, you can take it at the angle from like, this is a crazy post-apocalyptic world. There's like rampant depression.
Yeah.
There's fear. A little light does make a change in people. Like,
yeah.
I 100% see that. And you're right. Like, if you take out the core text or whatever, and you take it for what it is, it's like it can be. You know, like a beautiful moment amongst these characters, but it's just like, again, there's so much dogpiling, and like the memes are like ace right now for it. Like, it's like, you know,
I haven't touched it because I want to avoid spoilers, and I almost got spoiled.
Pretty good.
Yeah, touching that sub, but I will say it was a cute, like, we saw that moment because we're loving it, obviously. We're loving season two, and we thought it was cute, but I think the overwhelming feeling after seeing that moment was like, this feels like heavy foreshadowing that it won't go this way. Like, they're showing us this ray of light so that they can yank it away, and, you know, we watched fucking Dina die or something.
I'm not gonna spoil, obviously, but like, it is a turning point in itself in the game as well, because the situation already is dire. There has been close calls. There already has been like a significant amount of dread looming.
Right.
Whereas it's a huge dampener, and like it only makes, you know, like it doesn't affect Ellie's judgment, but like everything is like kind of like, you know, stuttering a little bit. And I'm sure there'll be some of that too as well, but like just kind of like, Like Ellie like wants to turn around. Like there is like an effort, like a significant effort to like, this is done, this is over. Like, Ellie does see has a bit of clarity to like what the situation is. And
I mean, that happens in the show too.
I agree. But you know, it is what it is. I don't know.
That's all right.
Yeah, keep going over. Yeah. I like, honestly, like, I would probably still be watching if I wasn't putting my time to Andor season two right now.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we could talk about that, but I am just past the halfway mark of season one.
Ooh.
And it's unbelievable.
When Andor gets real good. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
The latter half is significantly better.
Really?
Than the first. Yeah.
The first half was so good.
Like, no, the first half is very good. The second half is like, yeah. What was the last episode you saw? Or was the last thing that happened?
Episode 7, so they had... oh my god, it's so heavy. So, they had the heist.
Heist is done?
Heist is done. It was so fun.
Okay. Yeah.
It felt like a video game. It felt real.
When it's done and they just, like, fuck off into space, I'm like, whoa, yeah.
That we were gonna... I've read a couple things about how expensive it is to make, and I'm like, yeah, but, you know, because, like, you know, Game of Thrones, famously, and something else, Severance, you know, recently has broken some records on like TV production costs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I knew Andor would be right up there, but I will Andor out of those things I just listed. Like, it looks the highest quality. Like, it looks so good. I can't. Mm-hmm. I just can't get over how good it looks. It's like the most beautiful show. Just production wise, it's weird to like look at like Luthen's shop and be like, it's fucking awesome. And you know, when she pulls when Mothma pulls up to it in her like Rolls Royce flying car, like cruising, everything is just so gorgeous. So they have the heist, and you know, our boy Andor gets away, and then I might be two episodes removed from the heist. So shortly thereafter, there's a significant change of pace because he gets his money and he leaves, but he's arrested shortly thereafter.
Okay, so you see him get arrested. Okay.
After the the Empire kind of retaliates and all the sentences go up, sentencing and all this stuff. And I just finished a full episode after that where it covers his roughly first 30 days in prison. And it's...
Oh, the prison is like awful. The creme de la creme of that season.
Yeah, it's awful. So dejecting. And also, you know, the Mon Mothma stuff is starting to kick up, and I've been really trying to... I have no shame in admitting this, because, you know, I've never considered myself like a Star Wars expert, but I actually didn't connect the dots till, like, mid-season of who the fuck she was supposed to be.
Oh.
Because, you know, again, I don't fucking know. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, it all, but when it hit, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, she's going to be her. And I mean, the actress is so well cast.
That's her daughter.
Oh, my God.
That's the original actress's daughter. I'm almost certain.
Wow. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
It's either this, that's amazing. Or when they came back,
yeah. I mean, she looks so much like her. It's amazing. And we can look it up later. I know she apparently has some moments in season two that I've just seen in like thumbnails and I don't want to touch.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I obviously know she survives because of, you know, Star Wars. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm loving Stellan Skarsgård. Like, I mean, the cast, Andy Serkis and the prison, for Christ's sake. The casting on this show is so fucking good. Andor himself, really, really good. Production value, just everything.
I love Diego Luna. He's so fucking good. You watch Narcos? Diego Luna?
Oh yes.
Did you watch Narcos?
Yeah, who was he in that? It's been years.
It was like in the Mexico seasons. He was like the head of the cartel.
Oh no, I didn't watch those. I just watched the OG.
Oh,
because you're talking about like the second one, like the second.
Yeah. Mexico season. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. I just watched the OG.
Really good.
But man, I was about to watch the heist, you know, last week, and I was like, oh, there's probably one or two more. I had no idea there was 12 in the first season. So I'm really excited.
I thought season two was done. I was convinced, like, last week it was over. I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, I feel like there's no hype on the ending and all that. And then the latest batch dropped there, and everyone's freaking out. So it's...
So what? It's supposed to... Is season
it's 12
two...
now. It's done now.
How many is it?
It's 12 again. Yeah.
Jeez. And it should lead relatively right into Rogue One.
I don't...
Or not right into, but...
How this season is going to end, I'm not 100% sure, but I remember, Tony Gilroy saying, it would be a one-to-one handoff from the series into Andor meeting, Daisy... Is it Daisy Jones?
Felicity.
The character from Rogue Felicity One. Felicity Jones. They were supposed to be like, they meet, boom, you can start Rogue One.
Cool. Because, I
don't know if it played out that way, but that was like what they were saying.
I haven't seen Rogue One since I saw it in theaters. And I loved it in theaters, for the record.
Yeah.
But watching this, and like Sam's been kind of half watching on the couch, and like, I never actually made her watch Rogue One. Because I basically just had her watch everything up until the Disney acquisition. And she was interested in 7, 8, 9. She's like, do you want to watch those? I was like, no, I'm good. but maybe we do it in release order. Maybe I put on Rogue One and say, do you want to go back? I don't know. We'll see. But she's been just sitting on the couch playing, you know, Switch, just watching me lose my shit while I'm just yelling out loud while I'm watching Andor. It's so good.
It's incredible.
Remember,
they're saying $300 million for season two.
Remember we were talking just a few months ago? I was like, how could anything beat Severance? And then you have, because now that it'll be set, like, best drama will be Severance, White Lotus, Last of Us, probably Andor. Like, it's an incredibly, it'll be a very, very stacked category.
Yeah. Because Andor competed against a lot of stuff the first season, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to look up what it lost to and what has been dominating. But, like, this is outstanding TV. Like, yeah. this belongs at the forefront of, like, drama nominations. Like, there's no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, and the Imperial stuff. I didn't think I'd have any interest in this. You know, the guy who got a little bit too big for his britches and it all fell on him. And then this character with the blonde but the really tight bun and the all
is
white.
Is it Deidre?
Yes, Deidre, yeah. Ramiro, yeah. Deidre Miro, whatever it is. She's such an interesting character, and she's kind of slowly rising up the ranks right now. She just got a hold of another sector and... Yeah.
Have you met, there's the guy, he's from Game of Thrones, or he was in Game of Thrones. I believe he was one of the headmeisters in the Red Keep towards the end.
The main one that
But
dies.
Essentially, like, no. But
oh,
like,
yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew I recognized him.
Yeah, his relationship with Deidre, like, as her, like, immediate, or, like, kind of mentor and all that. And they're kind of coming back to that in season two.
Oh, cool.
And just, like, they, like, the same thing. Like, the Empire stuff is dialed up. The Rebel stuff is dialed up. Like, it just kind of feels like it's coming to a head
in so many ways. This is, the stuff you see in the prison is just it's so good because, like you said, like, you have to see the brutality of the Empire and how its oppression is actually working rather than listen
being
to Obi-Wan tell you the Empire, you know what I mean? And, like, don't get me wrong, that shit works so well for me, like the movies, but it is very, very different to see it. And, like,
and, you know, like, it's I'm glad you're watching, I'm glad you're really enjoying it. I would never in a million years try and pitch, like, all the animated stuff like Clone Wars and Rebels and whatnot, but the closest thing they have is the tightness and the realism of the world of Star Wars. Not, like, you know, like, just, like, the people and, like, how, like I said, the oppression takes place and how, you know, they push people off planets and they use and abuse, like, you know, they coax in, like, first thing, they always go after it, like, they spoil a senator and then they inch their way into the planet and then there's, like, half planet takeover and then it's a full planet takeover. They rip it of resources and they do that over and over and over again. And it just continues to be fresh storytelling in the animated shows. And it's just so cool to see a live-action version of it with a story that I think the general masses are a little more familiar with. They have a little more association to Episode 4 and, you know, like, the originals. To see that come to life in live-action, it's such a treat. Like, as a Star Wars fan, we're spoiled, like, truly spoiled.
I think that gap between 3 and 4... most generations of Star Wars fans are aware of, and, like, or at least they have the space in their head, so it's easy to fill, right? And then Rogue One the movie did so well that it's like, okay, there's probably a lot more we can do here, because there's, like, pockets everywhere, but it's like, you know, you have to know more and more depending on what pocket you want to tell a story inside of. Anyway, I'm gonna try and watch an episode tonight. It's fucking
for
awesome.
Sure watching some tonight.
All right, over to you. I've been hogging the mic here.
I only really got one more thing, but it has taken up the most of my time over the past couple weeks there. I decided to jump back into Orb on the movements of the Earth. This is probably shot up in going to be one of my all-time favorite anime.
I have heard. No, I don't. Did it end recently by chance? Like, do they have the finale?
It's over.
Okay,
it's over.
So this
I'm not
is
sure
maybe
if there's going to be.
I'm seeing it.
I'm not
everywhere.
Sure if there's going to be a second season or not. I don't know. It is based on a manga, so it's there is, you know, potentially a second season coming. I have about 6 episodes left, so I'm not finished. But I've been. It's one of those shows that once I restarted it with a fresh mind and kind of like that. When I first started watching all that shit, my eyes were fucked up. And I was, like, watching, like, squinted out, like, you know. Anyways, I couldn't enjoy it. So I restarted, and I have been, like, a fine wine, 1 or 2 episodes, tops at a time. I'm just, like, really taking it in. Dave, this show is the ultimate blend of Vinland Saga and To Your Eternity. And To Your Eternity, the comparison is only how the usage of time and information works. There's no fantastical world. It's a grounded, real world story. It's set in 14th century Poland. The church is at, like, the height of their power. They control everything, right? Like, they control what is science, like, what is fact, what is not fact.
Is it historically accurate? Because, like, this is, like, a lot of this happened, right?
So, yeah, like, it... I mean, maybe it, not like, it,
what's in the anime.
It's not, like, out of a textbook of, like, these characters of, like, these are real people. Like, they're some of them are probably based on some yeah. people, some historical figures, but it's just kind of, like, a fictional version of events that did take place, you know, back then.
Yeah, because I think I remember as a kid learning about, like, you know, we were starting to understand basic astrology and all that stuff, and then that's when the church was started having a rough time with it, and it got pretty messy.
Yeah, so it's just, and honestly, the story starts off with just a young boy who has a fascination for the stars and astronomy, and he kind of, like, stumbles upon heliocentrism, you know, where the church was like, no, like, the earth, everything's like a tower, essentially, like, earth is at the bottom and everything kind of works around us, but we're at the center,
we're essentially, of the universe,
and, you know, then heliocentrism is the opposite, where, you know, what is fact now, and, like, the, you know, we all, you know, revolve around the sun.
Yeah.
And it's just an incredible tale of secrecy and knowledge and the pursuit of knowledge and who should and should not have access to this. And again, and just, like, the way, like, it's not just, like, one set period of time, like, the way it plays through time and how all it takes is one little seed of knowledge to be placed and kind of hidden amongst people and carried through time to, like, benefit the future. Dave, it is, like, amazing, amazing, amazing. It's such a good story.
Is this a 2025 anime? Like, did it start this year?
No, it started fall 24, and it went through, I think it ended about a month and a half ago.
Okay, all right. I've seen more of it lately. Like,
there's 26 episodes, yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's long.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of sick.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Like,
animation quality is nice.
You know, it's very akin to the first season of To Your Eternity, where, like, there's, like, a good consistent base of, like, a 7.
Yeah.
And, like, if there is, like, Sakuga moments, like, it goes to an 8.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, like,
okay.
it's not
doesn't,
like,
blow your,
you know,
head,
like,
off.
No.
But it's nice.
This is all about what you're listening to and the word and, like, just and, like, incredible characters, like, you know, also incredibly brutal, like, you know, like, just the punishments that are laid out, and like, there's, it's funny too, because, like, there's a couple characters and moments where, like, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. What was Thorfinn's buddy in season 2?
Rainer?
Rainer. Very, like, him, yeah, him vibes, like,
yeah. I'm him,
just like,
yeah,
oh, like, I didn't know, like, you know, I didn't know these things, and now I know these things, and, like, just people kind of, like, and just, like, the power of, like, the written word, love, like, you know, guys, like, there's this one character, they're younger, they're like, how do you know this stuff, and they're like, I can read, and they're like, why are you allowed to read, like, who taught you that, like, that's restricted information, like, so it's, it really hits home, like, prejudice, and, you know, like, the pursuit of knowledge, and, you know, like, there was an arc of a character where he was, like, very pivotal in, like, the old theories, and, like, he dedicated his whole life, and he has, like, this moment of, like, oh, like, shit, like, maybe I was wrong, and, like, and he has to overcome that, like, truth is what matters, not what he was, like, furthering, and just, it's, like, I'm not even done yet, and, like, I've been told, and I've read that the finale is, like, you know, good stuff. So
it's on,
like,
Netflix, too, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah. A lot of eyes have seen it, like, it's super, like, the, and, like, it's, this isn't always, like, a guarantee of success, but, like, the OP YouTube views are, like, through the roof.
Oh, really?
So the show's, a lot of people are getting eyes on it, a lot of people are seeking out the song and the video and the visuals. Yep. they're like, it's not like a, you know, like a for sure correlation of success, but like it does show there is a lot of interest. Yeah. So like there's, I don't know, it's Dave, like it's,
well, I've seen none of it, so I'll spin up a pilot or something.
It is, oh, yeah. Great pilot.
You know what we think about, yeah. We say about pilots, dude. Pilots are hard.
Pilots are hard.
we're not doing the Trump voice on that. That's our saying, dude. He's not taking that
one. No. I was trying to do Jerry, but if you took pilots Trump from hard. That, pilots are hard.
That's pretty good. I think I might get into I can't tell. Have you seen Curb?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lots of it. A lot of the old stuff.
I don't know why Larry David is in. I don't want to say the news. I don't know why he's like doing interviews and podcasts recently-ish, but he has been. And also, my algorithm is just steering me to a lot of Larry David content. Mm. And as you know, like a lot of the comics I love Larry David, right? Mm-hmm. So I just have seen too much Larry David content lately, and every time I see him and hear these stories about him, I'm like, fuck, I should watch Curb. Like,
you haven't? No, like you've watched like an episode here or there.
Oh yeah, but not a lot. And I might give that a spin at one point.
If you're, I'm gonna look up the exact episode. But there's one I think. Yeah, that's the thing too. You can just jump into any season.
Yeah.
Any circumstance, and because just like I think, it's yeah.
Sorry to cut you off. I was going to say, I think the early ones are in SD or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate that. So I was like, can I jump when it's HD? Does that matter? I don't really feel like not it's the type of video.
At the end of the day, like, it's funny because earlier seasons, like, as, like, you know, raucous and kind of, like, so, you know, off cheek that, you know, as he is, like, he is an envelope pusher for sure. Always has been. You can feel, like, more of how do I word this? Like traditional comedic writing and kind of like beats and motions as it goes on. Like I'm blanking on his name. When they started adding more like the people like that are on the show are doing more of the writing for themselves.
Oh, okay. Because that's a big thing, right? Like later on, yes. They're improvising a lot.
Yes. So like gives that's them a like
situation.
It just, that's where he becomes, like, the most unhinged and, like, just, like, the most, like, it also, like, when he becomes a caricature and he's just saying whatever he wants, I think that's when the show's been at its best. Like, seasons, like, I think, like, 6 to, like, towards the end. I know, like, the last two people didn't love, like, there's great episodes, but
yeah.
As a whole, the seasons were okay-ish, but, yeah, I think, like, you know, 4 or 5, it's kind of like a Simpsons thing, like, you get, like, 3 or 4 in and then, you know, they really hit their stride and kind of found what works and what doesn't, but
I mean, you
like
know
it's
what
gone our, to come back like 3 times, so like,
yeah, you know what our current comedy, if you can call it that, dramedy show is, like our before bed show right now, I think you've seen it, Shrinking.
Yes. Oh, that's a good show.
Fuck, Harrison Ford, man.
Oh, the best.
I can't,
he can do it all.
He sincerely can. It's probably old news to you, but I saw that the Rewatchables did a Star Wars A New Hope
episode. I just finished that today, actually.
Yeah, I was listening to it on my lunch, and they're just talking about Harrison Ford. Like, man, this guy can do everything. And I'm you know, I was watching him last night on Shrinking, and I was just like, man, he really get like this. Yeah. I rewatched Blade Runner 2049 recently.
Oh, wow, nice.
God, I love Harrison Ford. But yeah, all right. The only other thing I have is I have downloaded and put an entire 3 hours, so not much, into the Oblivion remastered.
Oh, nice! How are you liking it? Did you play it originally?
Never.
Back in the day?
Oh, okay. So I played it as I touched it as a kid when it came out, you know, 20 years ago, and I remember really not enjoying the combat. Like it felt very clunky. Sure. And you know, it's just, but I have also never even played Skyrim. Like I don't know what it is. I just never really felt liked how these games felt. They didn't feel tight. I don't know what it is.
I was more of a Fallout guy. I did play Oblivion. Yeah. I did play Skyrim, but
But you know, it's on Game Pass for $1, and it was like, yeah, okay, why not? And people don't shut up about this game, right? You know, it has all this cultural relevance that it has somehow hung on to. So it's like, you know what? I give it a go. So I rolled a character. I just got to the first city, and I'm gonna figure it out. Nice. Over time, it might be like a long term play, but we'll see.
It's a big game. It's a lot of shit to do.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah, it's one of those, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours if you want it. Like, yeah. It's all there waiting for you. But, yeah.
Last bits of news I got, To Your Eternity manga is going to end in 2 chapters, so they got an end. And Solo Leveling, rumor. Season 3 may be multiple years away.
Yeah, did you see the weird comments from the producer a couple weeks ago?
What did he say?
They were just like, hey, like they did like a fan arousal of like, guys, like, we need your support, like we need you to show your fervor so we can like make this happen. And everyone's like, why the fuck are you asking for our support in like the biggest show out right
now? Yeah, the biggest show on the planet.
Yeah, it was a good sign. And it's like not the studio, it was like the production company. So like the fucking money people were saying that. Very weird. It was very weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I think someone from Crunchyroll made a comment of like, biggest show on the platform. Like, yeah, it was very like weird. I bet you this is like some contract stuff, people trying to like muscle each other out on something, but I don't know.
But like, get going. It takes a while to make, so I don't even think they've started production yet, so
I have a hunch that seasons 1 and 2 were done back to back, and they just spaced it out to like tidy up 2.
Yeah,
that's I think they've just been sitting on it since.
We'll see.
That to me makes the most sense. But
You mentioned Mission Impossible right before we hit record, and it's funny just because I saved this quote from a Time article because Sam and I have started watching them now. Granted, because I've never seen any, so we've watched 2.
Oh.
And 3 is next. I will not finish in time to see it with you, but maybe, who knows? But you know, I've been watching all the promo, and I'm like, fuck, Tom Cruise, man. And
2 is the worst, by the way. 2 is the worst.
The cheese is unbelievable in 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
The cheese is unbelievable. Yeah. But
yeah.
I am watching them because I just think that we've gotten better at this since starting the podcast, right? And I'm watching them, and I'm like, yeah, it's unbelievably cheesy. Mm-hmm. But I have like I understand what I'm watching. I know the year it was made in, and I mean? And then I know that how much culture made fun of these movies later on. Like, So I'm okay with it. I'm just enjoying the ride, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not getting mad, but this is a short quote. In the Mission Impossible franchise alone, Cruise has climbed the shining glass sides of the Burj Khalifa, the world's tallest building, hung from the side of an A400 military transport plane as it took off, ridden an actual motorcycle off the edge of an actual Norwegian cliff. He has a commercial pilot license. He is one of the 36 people in history to be named an honorary U.S. naval aviator. He can parachute and base jump and free dive. But one issue with this particular idea for Fallout was that Cruise, at the time, was not a trained helicopter pilot. So, Cruise and McQuarrie made inquiries, and they were told at 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, it would take 3 months to get Cruise up to speed and able to pilot. Cruise asked, what about the other 16 hours in a day? A month and a half later, he was ready to fly.
Unreal stuff. That's the best one.
Power of Scientology, dude.
Yeah.
Just coursing all through his veins.
Is by far the best one.
Yeah.
By a huge margin. It's so good. And that helicopter stuff specifically... Dope.
What number is that?
6.
Okay, and what is coming
1,
out?
1, 2, 3. Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
Rogue Nation. Fallout. Dead Reckoning. Final Reckoning.
Okay, to be fair, pretty sick titles in all those.
Yeah, I know.
those are actually pretty sick.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty sick. And
I remember there's a set piece in Rogue Nation that I saw that one. Devin and I saw that with our dad, and like all three of us came out like, that movie was like pretty good, but like there was one set piece that it's like not even like his most like him doing something crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an indoor scene.
Cool.
And I was like, well, like the guy's got it. He's got like he's had the juice forever at this point, but like
he's got it. Yes.
So. Yeah, yeah.
I guess Jeremy Renner's doing promo right now for his book. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. But
they wouldn't give me the keys to the franchise.
Yeah, I guess he was saying, like, yeah, those movies were just killer to work on, and there's also rumors about him doing more Hawkeye, but did you see they tried to lowball him on pay?
Yeah. Anyway. See Robert Downey with the supporting photo?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, with the taking a photo with the book.
The muscle shirt on.
Pay the man.
Pay the man. kind of funny. All right, bud. I think we're good. Look at that. Dude,
for yeah.
an hour on the dot, just about.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. All right.
Yep.
I haven't said this once. Please follow the podcast. Support the podcast on Instagram, TikTok. Follow it on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, etc. Wherever you get your podcasts. At Part-Time Otaku Podcast. That is it. We'll be back in another couple weeks. We'll see if Grant's still here after we take him out to his bachelor party. If not, it'll be solo podcast. And we'll see you then. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Grant, go ahead, say the words.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.